This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
But Kate Blaney with America Tonight, this version of it anyway. Hope you're having a great week. Not such a great week if you're pondering North Korea and ICBMs. What does it mean? I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But before we get there, I always talk about the buzz in the land. And the buzz in the land starts with the CNN snub to the Christmas White House party. So what does that mean? Here's the deal. The White House invites press to come to the Christmas party every year. It's a tradition in Washington. Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Tuesday said that, hey, CNN's not going to come to the party this year. CNN feels like, I guess, they're consistently being fired upon verbally from the White House, especially when Trump talks about fake news. So pretty much the statement was just this: CNN will not be attending this year's White House Christmas party in light of the president's continued attacks on freedom of the press and CNN. We do not feel, and this is their statement, it is appropriate to celebrate with him as his invited guest. We'll send a White House reporting team to the event and report on it if news warrants it. So how about that? Hey, we'll come with our cameras, but we're not going to come and drink any booze or eat any food with you. So it just last week, Trump tweeted, Fox News is much more important in the United States than CNN, but outside of the U.S., CNN International is still a major source of what he said was fake news. He said they represent our nation to the world very poorly. The outside world does not see the truth from them. So there you go. That, I think once that tweet went out, that's when they decided they weren't going. The White House Christmas party, in case you're curious, is scheduled for Friday at 2 o'clock, and it's usually really a big deal, and press people kind of jockey to get, you know, representation to go to the party, but CNN will not be at the party. All right, besides CNN, and we're going to talk about North Korea here in just a second because I think that obviously is huge news. There's something else to talk about, and that is what is happening with the whole tax deal. I was just reading something from Grover Norquist, who said tax holdouts turned in their homework late. What a tweetable thing that is. And what he said was, he said that the progress on a Senate tax bill Tuesday, which there was good, but warned that in the upper chamber it could sink the legislation and could hurt the country and the Republican Party. So Senator Bob Corker, Republican from Tennessee, who is a deficit hawk, said he would be persuaded to vote for the tax bill if it included, and wait for it, a way to backstop or trigger if the plan, which proposes about $1.5 trillion in tax cuts, doesn't meet projections for boosting the economy. He said you can talk, or you can't ask the business community, go ahead and invest, and we'll tell you later if you have the lower tax rate. I agree with that. That's one of the things that Norquist said. That's the problem. So you say one thing and you can't go back on that. It would be suicide, political suicide. And then some other critics include Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who wants a bigger tax break for pass-through business. So that means small mom-and-pop enterprises and then some non-corporate businesses, too, some larger ones. And that's when Norquist said, look, people turned in their homework late. They didn't discuss this and build support for it in Congress. So if the bill doesn't pass, there's a risk of hurting the country. That's what he was saying. And he said, you know, there's just no bipartisanship in the Senate. There's no moderate Democrats. And once we hit 50 votes or 51, it's going to pass. It doesn't matter then if one or two Democrats might come over. So it's the same thing that we've seen all along, is who do you trust? Who do you believe? What's really going to happen with this tax deal? Does it need to happen? Well, the answer is yes, it does need to happen. And just dragging it out further and further and further down the line does nothing but screw up the deficit anyway, and that's part of the problem. And you cannot say you're going to offer a cut and then take it back when it comes to businesses. Of course, again, that would be political suicide. All right, speaking of suicide, what is Kim Jong-un doing? What is this nutball doing? So North Korea ends a 10-week stop in their weapons testing program on Tuesday by launching what the Pentagon is saying is an intercontinental ballistic missile. And they say it's probably its longest range test yet, a move that, of course, is going to escalate tensions that are ridiculously high already with Washington. So now you have the UN chief condemning the missile launch. I mean, you have everyone condemning it. The UN Secretary General said that he decries what Pyongyang is doing, and of course, it's a violation of the Security Council resolutions. It shows complete and utter disregard for the view of the international community. There's no question about that. So, once again, the UN Security Council is going to hold an emergency meeting on Wednesday and talk about the latest launch and calls from the United States for more sanctions to be imposed on North Korea over what they're calling rogue behavior. And of course, it's rogue behavior. It's more than saber rattling, it's serious threats, and then you have to worry about distance. And would Kim Jong-un be crazy enough to try and blow this even further wide open? And it is rogue behavior, so there's just no way to know that. And I think one thing about Trump, I think North Korea is misunderstanding and miscalculating what could possibly happen here. And of course, none of us want to see anything break wide open to a war, but you cannot continue to have the sand kicked in your face, keep threatening, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then not do anything, and then take the risk that this guy is not going to pull the trigger on something ridiculous, because it is such a real possibility, an incredibly real possibility. Ridiculous is what I say. All right, I'm going to go to this point, and I want to make sure that I squeeze this in at the top, because this also would be something that would be worth talking about. It's something that somebody asked when it happened, asked me what was going on here. And what I'm talking about is this Mick Mulvaney thing. He's going to remain as the interim CFPB head. And what is that? The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So a federal judge refused to block the appointment of Mulvaney, siding with the Trump people in a legal fight over the leadership of this consumer watchdog agency. And the U.S. District Judge said, you know, it's denying the president's authority to appoint Mulvaney, and it raises constitutional questions, which is true. Whether you agree with his appointment or not, the bottom line is this is something that is up to the president. And U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly went on to say that nothing in the statutes prevents Mulvaney from holding both of these positions. The judge was referring to his existing job as the federal budget director. And, of course, again, he is a Trump appointee. And, you know, Richard Cordray resigned as the Consumer Bureau director on Friday, and that elevated some problems and more of that conversation. So President Trump named him as the watchdog acting director after all that happened and said, you know, you've got a different federal law called the Vacancies Reform Act. Did you know that? And I knew it. The move means you've got a couple days of confusion, but there is precedence in doing that. So that's exactly what happened there. Again, it's the vacancies law because you've got that open spot. Crazy, huh? All right, stay with us. Coming back on the flip side, we're going to hit the mailbag, and plus I'm going to tell you how you could win a trip possibly to the UK. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero.
Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Time to turn to the America Tonight mailbag. Wow. So many of you asking about North Korea. Not a surprise. I just mentioned that in our last segment. What do you do? There's an emergency meeting of the Security Council, the UN again, and the conversation turns toward Kim Jong-un and the fact that, okay, so for 10 weeks, nothing happens. Whew. 10 weeks, nothing. And then, all of a sudden, boom, let me launch another ballistic missile, which makes everybody else go ballistic. And I think for good reason, because it's capable, supposedly, of reaching D.C. and the East Coast. Does that make anyone feel comfortable? No. And seeing the photographs of it is pretty frightening, I have to tell you. So look it up, whatever search engine you use, and you think of that possibly hitting the East Coast. Some people say, oh, that's exaggeration. No, there's reasons why there's measurements, and those measurements have always been there. It's just that he's escalated what he is doing as the crazy, nutty leader of North Korea. So anyway, a lot of you had some concerns about that, so let's jump into the mailbag. This one is from Trip, who says, hey, Kate, big fan of the show. I've been listening for a long time. It's the first time I've actually sent you an email. Sorry about that. I promise I'll call in the future. Man, bag this Kim Jong-un. Can't somebody take him out? I have to think that he could easily be, well, let's just say, assassinated. And when somebody is out of control, what do? And he's in this position of power where he can affect millions and millions of people. It has to be frustrating to the Trumpster and other people who are involved in what would be an effort to stop this man. What do you think? Well, eventually it comes to the point where, do you just keep letting him do what he's doing, and you keep threatening, and nobody wants war, and nobody wants to pull that trigger, so to speak, but something has to be done. So what is the something that has to be done? And I think he, it's almost like he's defying or daring, I guess, not defying, because he could care less, I'm sure, in some ways, what any world leader thinks. But I think he's pushing, trying to push the Trump buttons. I do. And that's why some of this has escalated. It's just crazy. All right, here's some more thoughts on this. This one is from William Kate, North Korea, thumbs down. Boy, I've never seen it like this before, and I've listened to your show for a long time. You've had a lot of fantastic guests talking about North Korea. You've had people talking about the situation in other parts of the world, and this is Harry Caryville to me. It just, I think you have to really look at it pretty hard, and I think Trump is doing that, and I think the people around him are doing the very same thing. Well, yeah, that's the gig. The gig is, if you're part of the, I'll call it the war room team, you're there and you're at the Pentagon, you're the defense secretary or anybody related to anything to do with the potential, a potential answer back to Kim Jong-un, of course you're heavily involved in this. And at some point, the rhetoric just, it just dies. You know? I mean, it's almost like he's a defiant kid with a dangerous weapon that you threaten him, you threaten him, you threaten him, but then he never, it's like he doesn't take you seriously because it's just empty threats. So what do you do in that case? And the answer is, I think if it continues, something absolutely will happen. All right, let's move into a different direction. This one is from Joseph, America Tonight. Like the show, like that you talk about a lot of different things, get bored with everybody else out there who's probably making way more money than you as talk show hosts, Kate. I think you deserve it, but I have to say that, well, I'll tell you what, when I hear some of the nonsense that's going on, whether we're talking about the people who unload on innocent people, or we talk about the guy you were talking about in Florida who decided he had road rage and he was going to shoot at somebody, what is wrong with the country? It feels like it's scarier or something to me. Is it that people are just morally bankrupt and they don't know right from wrong, or they don't care about others, or what is it? You know, if I could answer that question, Joseph, I would be a wealthy woman, not from doing a talk show, from something else. I think that there's more, if we were going to use excuses, there's more stress, there's more pressure, there's more you, got, I don't, I'm jealous, I hate this, I hate you. I don't know, does it feel harsher, or is it just a combination of you get older and you start to see things through different lenses? Or not. I mean, one thing that makes me feel good is we talk about the younger generation, so like a generation and a half behind me, millennials. When people talk about millennials, and I just did a great speaking engagement. I was so thrilled to be asked to do this. And I worked with 20 kids under 30, so millennials, and I thought they were terrific, smart, bright, really interesting to talk to them and hang out with them and work with them on finding their wow, so they could describe who they do, you know, what they do and who they are and that kind of stuff. And I felt really optimistic, to be honest. So maybe we just hear sometimes too much of the bad stuff, but there's some really incredible things happening and some really good-hearted people out there. And I believe in the power of people, and I still believe, even when things disgust me and things happen, I believe that there are inherently good people that walk the planet. One of them is not Kim Jong-un, by the way. All right, how about this one from Francis, who says, Kate, you know, talking about that whole Confederate flag thing the other day, I don't know if you saw this story about this Ohio pizza place that went to the social media and they did a delivery driver who was spotted with a Confederate flag hanging from a delivery car, and there was something on Twitter about it. It was a man who posted a picture of La Rosa's Pizzeria, the delivery truck with the flag, and said that the chain was delivering white supremacy. I laugh because it's not funny. I laugh because they were trying to be clever on Twitter, and it did explode. It became huge. So because of, you know, with the flag and then the joke. So people were responding all over the place, and people were questioning La Rosa. So La Rosa said, you know, when they were questioned, that they have values, and we promise you no one will ever see it again, and thanks for your comments, because it was so out of control, the reaction to it. And, you know, so now that the whole back and forth over the Confederate flag and flying the Confederate flag, it's always been there, but it's just blown open even, I mean, it's just blown open even more, you know. And it's what we keep seeing, right? I mean, remember this? Earlier in the year, Papa John's, they were in trouble, or in hot water, if you want to say that, after CEO John Schnatter blamed the NFL for low pizza sales because of the player protests. So, I don't know, all of a sudden there's this, there's strange things happening with food, pizza especially, and people's political leanings, or, you know, what other people are posting out there, and then how it bounces back. And I think that's all that was a case of. Hey, it was a delivery driver. They had it on their truck. Somebody posts it, sees it, and of course it happens to be the local pizzeria. So it comes off on, it comes off onto them. We used to do a thing called Tech Tuesday, and some of you have asked me to bring it back, and I'm going to bring it back. But for now, I got this from Anthony, who says, Kate, I heard you talking about Cyber Monday. I got a few things on Cyber Monday myself, and I wondered what the sales were like. Well, remember there was predictions that they were going to hit $6.59 billion by the end of the day, and it happened. That's a 16.8% increase. Wow. And it was measured by Adobe. Adobe had forecasted online on Monday surpassing $6.5 billion. And they said it would have made it the largest cyber holiday ever, period. The largest digital shopping day in U.S. history. So, I mean, how about that? The measurements, the firm measures 80% of online transactions from 100 major retailers, and that's how they arrive upon that number. The figure is crazy, isn't it? And retailers, of course, are figuring out how to optimize for mobile, because that's really coming together. Everybody does everything on their phone. I mean, you just do. It's right there. You use it. You order things there. And they're really trying to figure that puppy out. Absolutely. So there's the answer to that question. All right. I want to tell you about your chance to win a fabulous prize from America Tonight. And what is that fabulous prize? Go to travelwithdk.com. Fill it in. You could win a trip to London. You could win a book as well. Send me a note. It's Laney Media Group at live.com. If you're the fifth one in, I'll send you a book on London from DK Eyewitness. Fabulous stuff. Fabulous opportunity. Go to travelwithdk.com. Meet you on the other side.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
If some high-pressure salesperson twisted your arm into buying a timeshare, it's not your fault. Whether you bought decades ago or days ago, I bet that salesperson didn't mention your timeshare could cost you twice as much as a regular vacation, or that you'd never be able to use it when you wanted, or that your fees could shoot up every year. They misled you, and that's not fair. That's why we're here, to get your timeshare company to free you from your unwanted timeshare. Get the free information you need at 1-800-783-2959. We're the Timeshare Exit Attorneys, America's number one timeshare exit service run by real attorneys, not sales companies or middlemen. It was a salesperson who got you into this mess. Don't rely on a salesperson to get you out. We've got a 100% service guarantee, and our team has already helped thousands of people get out of unwanted timeshares. For free information, call 1-800-783-2959. That's 1-800-783-2959, 1-800-783-2959.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
So pleased to be joined by Meredith Elliott Powell, my pal who was named Top 50 Business Growth Expert, one of them anyway, by Currency Fair, also Top 25 Sales Expert on LinkedIn. She's got a great book called, that just came out a while ago, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. It's all about business growth. Hey, Meredith, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
So here's the thing. I love the title of the book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility. What does redefining responsibility mean?
Oh, you know, that is my passion. Somehow responsibility has become a word that, you know, that people don't, they sort of shy away from. When I was first writing the book, my publisher said, you can't write a book about responsibility. Nobody wants to be responsible. And I said, well, that's kind of the point. We see responsibility as a negative thing, and responsibility is the ultimate path to freedom and control of your career and your life.
Well, you know, it's interesting as you said that, Meredith. The first word that came to mind for me is blame. How the word responsibility and blame have sort of got lumped together. But even as you were just describing your conversation with your editor, and when I was looking at your book, I thought to myself, you know what? When you take responsibility for what's happening around you in your life and your actions, it's empowering. It's not a, it doesn't take you down. It actually builds you up.
Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, it's funny. I was just doing a program about emotional intelligence, and we were talking about, you know, the triggers that you have, the things that make you feel righteous or blame or things like that. And while that's really fun to get together with your friends or your spouse and talk about how everybody else is wrong, the problem is that that's exactly where you are the next day. It doesn't fix anything. And you give away your power when you don't take responsibility. And you said it so beautifully, Greg, it's empowering. You take it back when you take responsibility. And I'm just on a mission. I mean, I just want people to see it. When you own that, boy, where you can go and what you can accomplish is just unstoppable.
So yeah, one of the things that you talk about, let me jump in here, Greg. One of the things you talk about, Meredith, along those lines is, you talk a lot in your book about employee engagement, and in fact, in one of your early chapters, it's a great title, The Sorry State of Employee Engagement. What do you mean by that, that employees are just, it's like an all-time low, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when I first started speaking, it is at an all-time low, and it's Gallup is predicting it's going to go lower. And what I think is so funny about employee engagement when I started to work in that area is that I kept working with leadership teams doing everything they could do to engage employees. And I thought, this is helicopter leadership, like you have helicopter parents. Like, why is it my responsibility to engage other people? It's a job. We pay you. You want to get promoted? Work your tail off. And I don't mean to be that harsh about it, but you know, we need to, as leaders, create an environment where people would want to engage. But whether you engage or not, that's up to you. And I just, when I looked at it, I just saw companies spending millions, billions, quite frankly, doing everything they could to try to get people to stay. I mean, it got into spa treatments. It got into crazy stuff. And you know, people need to take responsibility for their own career. So the way the book is written is it helps leaders create the right culture, but it also says to an employee, it's your life, it's your career. Why are you waiting for somebody else to engage you?
I'm so glad you said that, Meredith. We're talking with Meredith Elliott Powell. Her new book is Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. Because I have to tell you, I think your book title is one of the best book titles I have ever seen. Those four words, own it, redefining responsibility, you packed so much power into those four words, and you just said it. Like, if you're a company and you're almost bribing people to be engaged, you're not giving people something to own. In fact, it strikes me that you're actually doing the opposite. You're redefining responsibility the wrong way instead of the right and the empowering way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you said that about the title. I should have had you talk to my publisher.
I'm always available.
because I really felt about that, too. I mean, what I really started to see was a disservice. I mean, if you go to work someplace and they have the unbelievable culture where they're doing everything for you, then as an employee, you never really learn how to do it for yourself. Plus, you're stuck. If the company ever changes the rules, ever changes how they do things, you're going to feel like you've been wronged. And it just doesn't work. And so what I think really engages employees is a leadership who feels responsible to create a culture where people can thrive, but also a group of employees that have the tools and the skills that they need to take responsibility. Look, we've all been around long enough. If you get one good boss in your life, you're lucky. Mm. And, you know, you've got to know how to do it yourself.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking there's almost a trap or a catch-22 here for management and leaders, which is why you should pick up Meredith's book, because you could take what you just said and say, cut out the perks. And that's not the point. You have to deliver the perks in a way that empowers people instead of bribes them. You know, I'm thinking about my own visits to Google, for instance. You know, when you work at Google, the perks are incredible, but the amount of ownership that you get with your job is also incredible. So I think what you're saying, but with own it, redefining responsibility is it's fine to give your employees perks. In many cases in Silicon Valley, you get the perks so you'll stay at work longer. But people are not staying at work longer because they serve dinner. They're staying at work longer because they own their job. They own it.
Mm-hmm.
And it enables them to continue owning it by not having to leave and go do trivial things like eat and get your dry cleaning. That's very different culturally than just throwing spa treatments at people, hoping that, you know, somehow you'll trick them into noticing that it's a terrible place to work.
You know, you're so right, Greg. I read an article that was actually published in Forbes not too long ago called Entitlement is Not Engagement. And it talks about exactly what you're speaking about, is the fact that the perks need to be the icing on the cake. But if the foundation isn't there, then you're never going to really engage people. People don't engage for a spa treatment. They love that, and they don't engage for beer on Friday afternoon. They engage because they're respected, because they feel like they're heard, and because they feel like they have skin in the game and they're part of the action. And they feel like this company cares about them. My nephew just got a job for New Belgium. And he said something so interesting to me. He said where he had worked before, which I won't name. He said if I saw like a cigarette on the ground or something like that, I didn't worry about it because I didn't feel like that company cared about me. He said, but when I walk into New Belgium, there's a cigarette on the ground or a piece of paper. He said, I pick it up because I care about New Belgium because they care about me. Now, that kid gets a lot of perks. New Belgium is at the top of the list with employee engagement. But he feels cared about is the base of that.
Wow. So in saying all of this, if somebody really embraces this, Meredith, do you think that leads to business growth? Does that affect the ROI?
You know, when I read the book Own It, it was the book that came out of Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, which is all about exactly what you need to do to succeed in today's economy. And when I speak about this, what I speak about is the fact that employee engagement is the only competitive advantage you have left. There's nothing you do. There's nothing you create. There's nothing you sell. There's nothing you can do that your competition won't do. So the experience your customers are having is the only thing that's giving you competitive advantage. And that would be so easy if you were the only person who interacted with your customers. But for most of us, we're dependent upon those people who work with us. So ironically, at a time when we need our employees to be more engaged than ever, the only competitive advantage you have. I think the companies that do it win.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, your only competitive advantage is your engagement with your employees. It actually reminds me, this is just an observation, it's not even a question, but it reminds me, frankly, of what was happening 30 years ago between Apple and Microsoft. The Apple employees were obsessed with the success of their company, and the Microsoft employees were not. I mean, if you watch, you know, I think Revenge of the Nerds, I mean, a large part of the movie is Bill Gates being upset because Steve Jobs' employees, you know, treated him like, you know, this figure on the hill. And it's funny how it sounds like nothing has really changed, and there's great lessons to learn today and from history.
And you know, the thing about it, too, is that you think about it's almost like that world of those two competitors, it's gone on steroids for all of us. Because in that day, I couldn't buy something anywhere I wanted to in the world. I couldn't sit home in my underwear and Google and have everything I need delivered.
That's an image I didn't need, Meredith. But
I usually talk about it being naked, so I feel lucky.
Thank you.
But, you know, so think about it. You know, think about it from that perspective. Most of us have the leadership skills that came about and were taught at a time when we could hire anybody we wanted to. And now the world is, you know, the kid sitting down the street, he can work in China if he wants to, right from his own home.
Yes.
Yeah, big difference, obviously. Hey, we have 30 seconds left. I want to wrap with this, Meredith. What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is responsibility and seeing the fact that people see it as a negative rather than a positive. I want people to embrace responsibility, and I want people to learn to love to sell. You do those two things, and life is going to be good.
I love that. That's another conversation about learning to sell for sure. Meredith Elliott-Powell, thank you so much. Pick up her book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckenridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
About what's happened with poor Leslie Jones, who's the star of Ghostbusters. She's one of the stars anyway. Saturday Night Live. She's a comedian, very, very funny, and her star is certainly on the rise. But unfortunately, her personal information was hacked, leaked, all that kind of stuff. Nude pictures came out. So how do you secure your accounts, your social media accounts, private online information, emails, all that kind of stuff? Obviously, there is so much to this. Cybersecurity, data protection is huge now more than ever. So joining us on ATN is Sean Tuma. He's a cybersecurity expert. You can check him out at solidcounsel.com. Sean, so how about it? Do you think someone like Leslie Jones, she would have a good system around her? But it's not necessarily about that. It's about letting your guard down, I think, a little bit. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. You know, most of the time when we hear about people being hacked, especially when we're talking about celebrities, it's not that they're really hacked in the traditional sense of a code or technologically based attack on the network or the system. It's usually a result of social engineering. And in this case, Leslie Jones' site was a Tumblr site, likely had pretty good security in place. The most likely reason for why this could have happened would be someone using information from her that's been publicly available to guess her passwords, her security questions, or things like that.
Yeah, and when we see these kind of things happen, who are these people? I mean, are we talking about somewhere in Eastern Europe? Are we talking about in Russia? Are we talking about right around the corner? Is it all across the board?
It's all across the board. You know, oftentimes we're talking about a lot of these scams that are being run, cyber scams, fraudulent type, you know, send me money and I'll, you know, connect you to your long lost uncle and you'll get millions. Those kind of schemes are being operated by people in those countries, you know, Russia, former Eastern Bloc nations. But something like this doesn't appear to be a for-profit type attack. This appears to be a revenge or a, you know, spite based, and that could be from anyone. It could be from someone right next door to her that she may think is her best friend.
Yeah, wow, it's crazy. So what do we do to protect ourselves? What are some of the things we can do?
You know, the most important thing anyone can understand from the very beginning is that it's more important to have good security that is used rather than great security that doesn't get used. And in that light, I always like to start with the basics, your passwords. Always change your default passwords because people can guess those pretty easily. Use reasonably strong passwords that have a mix of numbers, letters, characters. And in someone's case, like Leslie Jones, who they know people will be out trying to attack and gather information on, when they use their security questions, consider using false information. Because in the old days, no one really knew who my mother's maiden name, right?
Right.
But now, Google knows all of that. They know where I went to high school. They probably know the name of my first pet. And so that stuff that used to be secret is now accessible. So when you use that for your security questions, people can guess that and figure that out. You know, have basic antivirus on your computers. Be wary of social engineering. You know, I mean, that's basically where bad guys trick good people into doing dumb things. Sometimes it's responding to emails, it's clicking on emails, downloading programs, stuff like that. I mean, that's really, if you can do those very basic things, you'll come a long way.
Yeah, you know, and because we're seeing so much that's happening with these hacks and so much of that information, personal information flowing out there, what's also interesting is legally, there's been some real blowback to that, right? So if somebody's listening and they have a company, what's their end of it to protect the people that work for them that with on their computer systems?
You know, there is a huge legal blowback, and it's interesting that you phrase it that way because this is one of the few areas of law or policy where the victim of the attack, the company, or whoever is housing and holding that data, becomes the bad guy. Think about that. You know, whenever this company is the victim of an attack, it is now the bad guy in the eyes of the law and the public for not adequately protecting that information, whether it's customer data, whether it's workforce data, you know, employee W-2 forms, things like that. Happens all the time, and companies have an absolute duty to protect that and to use reasonable measures to assess the risk that they have and then put appropriate defensive measures in place.
Yeah. We're speaking with Sean Tumo. We're talking about cybersecurity, and you're a litigator, so you know you focus on this area. And now I would assume, would you advise clients that they have to have cyber insurance coverage?
They I would say they have to consider it. And evaluate what it does for them and document that process, document that they considered it and evaluated it. Because the way this is right now, the law is uncertain and it varies by jurisdiction. So I can't tell a client exactly what their legal obligations are, but what I do know from what we've seen thus far is their obligations are to be diligent and reasonable. And people will always second guess everything they've done when they have an incident. So they need to have a good documented system to show we looked at cyber insurance. We considered it. However, it didn't fit for whatever reason. So you can verify that later on. But cyber insurance is critical in many cases now.
Yeah. And so, and like I said, you specialize in this. So if, as far as the law is concerned, I would imagine that is, it's just the Wild West, isn't it?
It's awesome. It is. And it's a, you know, what I love about it is it's so much of a Wild West that it changes sometimes daily, weekly, monthly. And it's an area where we have an opportunity to influence the direction of the law and the policies that, that are, you know, put into place. And someone like me, I mean, I've been practicing 17 years. Many people would consider that not very long. You know, it's a matter of who wants it the most, who's interested in following it and keeping up with it. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, boy, I bet. What's one of the craziest cases that you've had that you're really proud of, maybe, that you stopped from going to court or you were able to help the folks?
The facts aren't that crazy, but the evilness of the parties is. There was a case where I had two business partners that started off with very little money, couldn't even afford good contracts by a lawyer, wrote them themselves, and ended up making millions of dollars a month in from the technology they developed.
Wow.
And then egos came into play. They couldn't agree on who did more. And they started fighting, and one of the partners was basically, they had two separate businesses working together, and one of the partners was hacking into literally code-based backdoor features into the other's network and taking all the information that they were providing. And so we were able to stop that through the litigation.
Wow, and it just goes to show you, I like your setup there. It's like they tripped into this fabulous idea. They made millions, saying they're making millions a month is incredible. And then look what happens. And that goes to even be careful of your partnerships and making sure, like you said, they have contracts in place.
Absolutely. And even bigger than that, you know, keep your ego under check, because now the litigation has hurt all of them on all sides.
Wow.
And it allowed their competitors to come in and see what they were doing and use the court process to learn about a lot of what they were doing.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding me. Of course, I mean, because then it would be available and they would be able to know, like you said.
That's right. I mean, it's simple. If people behaved rationally, I would be out of business.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, that's exactly it. There's something about the ego that, especially in business, it doesn't start out that way, though, Sean, you know that. And then it somehow, I think success sometimes, that's the danger. That's why you have to have those contracts in place. You would know better than I, because if you don't, that's maybe you're not expecting that. But when you have that outrageous success, that's when I've seen that happen in radio with partnerships, with on-air talent that just a great thing going, and it collapsed.
Absolutely. I mean, the old saying is, a good contract allows friends and partners to stay friends and partners.
I love that. All right, it was fun having you on the show. Sean Chuma, thanks so much for stopping by and talking about cybersecurity. You can, again, go to solidcounsel.com. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
This just in, before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.